Good evening. I am going to try to, I'm going to call a meeting to order. I'd like to call a meeting to order of the Conference Committee on Senate File 2995. It's Friday, May 19th, 2023. And we were trying to get the sound system working, and we thought we'd get started. Everything looks like it should be on, but it doesn't sound like there's much sound coming through. But let us know, I guess, if you can't hear. So tonight, we are here to walk through the spreadsheet for the Conference Committee agreement on Senate File 2995. And we have our three fiscal analysts ready to proceed. I would like to suggest that if you have clarifying questions as we go through, please let us know, but I would like to stick to clarifying questions as we do this. And so we can get started. I think Mr. Albrecht is going to begin. And I don't even do introductions, but.
Madam Chair, I think that I'm being told that we are being broadcast, but okay. I don't know if people, maybe we should check and see if folks in the room can hear. So can people hear? And then can the folks at the testifying table hear? Are the mics picking us up at all?
Madam Chair, yes, we have speakers right here, so we can hear you through the system. I don't know that it's working both ways.
Oh, that's what I, yeah. Test.
It doesn't seem to be going into the room. Can you do anything
about that? Okay, I think we're just going to have to speak really loudly. And if people can be quiet in the room, we're working on it, but it is what it is right now, I think.
All right. So we can get started. Mr. Albrecht, were you going to be the first one? And we'll begin with the
strategy. Madam Chair and members, two of the three of us are very good at talking loudly. I am not the one of them. So I will do my best. Okay, so there's good news and bad news. It's still 46 pages long. Not any longer, but anyway, just to orient folks to the spreadsheet, it includes the governor's columns, the House columns, and the Senate columns, and then on the right-hand side are what is coming out of this conference committee. The spreadsheet on lines 4 to 7 shows the total spending, including the base plus the incremental amount in Senate File 2995. So for the first biennium, 2024 and 25, it's $6.2 billion, and in 26 and 27, it's $6.6 billion. On line 10, there is a series of cells there that track the target. This bill is coming back $100 million more than the target, and that is due to additional money that was added to the bill during the conference committee. The target is met as it was established in the global agreement for 26 and 27. On line 12 are the amounts in the general fund for Senate File 2995. And it is a three-year target, so you do have to do a little bit of math to get to the target of $1.108 million. Lines 24 to 31 track the health care access fund balance. It was supposed to be $276 million, but there was a change made to that requirement during the conference committee so that it needed to be $251.5 million, and it is more than that at $259.5. Lines 34 to 38 track the federal TANF balance and it shows it's $106 million. Lines 40 to 46 track most of the changes in the medical assistance program by the eligibility category within that program. Lines at the bottom of page one, line 49 to the bottom of page 2, line 129 track the appropriations by total, by net total for each agency that receives an appropriation in this bill. The change items begin at the bottom of page 2 on line 134 is the governor's child care assistance program rate increase. The amounts are the same as, largely the same anyway, as what the governor proposed. They changed a little bit due to technical corrections during the conference committee, but the proposal is the same and the amount is the same. On line 146 is the continuous MA eligibility for children. That was a governor's proposal that has also been corrected during since the governor's budget was released. That's why the numbers are different. On line 156 is a modified version of the governor's general assistance benefit increase and program modifications. That was scaled down a little bit during the conference committee. On line 164 is the governor's proposal for additional funding for licensing activities. It was reduced a little bit in the tails only. I'm sorry, that's not correct. The House position was reduced in the tails only. Line 175 is emergency, additional funding for the emergency services program, down from the governor's proposal a little bit, and also down from the House and significantly higher than the Senate. On page 4, at the top on line 181, is additional funding for the transitional housing program, and that is the governor's proposal. And also the House, the Senate was a little bit lower. Line 187 is funding for the Homeless Youth Act, and what's coming back is $30.3 million in the first biennium and in the second. I'm going to skip lines that are not coming back, so line 193 is an example of that. That was a Senate position. If a proposal has all zeros, that means it was either dropped or was never in either the House or the Senate position. Line 199 is additional funding for the Safe Harbor Program. These are the services provided through DHS, and the amount coming back is $4.25 million with tails of $2.5 million. Line 205 is additional administrative funding for DHS for all of the homelessness programs above. Line 211 is a DHS IT proposal for service delivery transformation. That proposal has changed over the four-year amount from what the governor proposed down to something in the neighborhood of $48 million. Line 219 is a governor's proposal relating to reprioritizing the what is currently a temporary change in the basic sliding fee program, and this proposal uses federal money to make it permanent, and that proposal has not changed in the conference committee. On line 223 is additional funding for the basic sliding fee program. This has changed a little bit. The amount is still the same at $30 million, but the way it's distributed between the general fund and the federal fund has changed. Began with no amount in the federal fund and is coming back with $22.75 million in the first biennium and $23 million in the second biennium coming out of the Child Care Development Fund and $7.25 from the general fund in the first biennium and $7 million in the second. Line 229 is the governor's proposal that was called something different initially. It was called like child care retention payments or something. Now it's called the Great Start Compensation Support Payments. This proposal was modified in the structure of its financing in the conference committee. The target was influenced how these proposals could be funded between the first biennium and the second. And if you look at fiscal year 2025, you'll see that there's a big jump there, up from $109 million, $110 million to $206 million. That's much different than, for example, the total is for the first biennium. Anyway, the fiscal year 2025 money goes forward into the tails and is available all the way through fiscal year 2027. Line 235 is the child care stabilization grants transition payments at $42.5 million. Line 241 is the governor's proposal unchanged for child care workforce development and scholarships. Line 248 is the governor's proposal changed to be funded entirely out of the Child Care Development Fund. One of the governor's proposals that had been carried by the House is on line 257. This is for business training grants, has been dropped altogether. Line 261 is the governor's proposal, and it is still fully funded for child care industry and workforce administrative funding. The next page in the middle there is on line 285 is House File 466. This proposal has changed in the conference committee, although I'll be honest with you, I don't remember why.
It's the delay in repealing that.
Oh, that's right. There were some changes in the effective dates of some of the components of it to meet the implementation timelines for systems work and such. Line 301 is the Governor's Family First Prevention Services Act. That one was scaled down a little bit. On line 313 is the governor's proposal for planning and implementation funding for Mille Lacs Band to join the American Indian Child Welfare Initiative, and that proposal is fully funded. The next proposal on line 319 is for existing tribes, additional funding for existing tribes in the American Indian Child Welfare Initiative. This proposal is increased substantially in the conference committee agreement because of a problem that was identified during the conference committee in the amount that was included in the governor's proposal. So that was corrected, and these reflect the amounts that were desired. Line 325 is also a governor's proposal. This is new funding for non-initiative tribes to promote best practices and communication with the counties, and it is fully funded at the governor's level. Line 331 is funding for food security among tribal nations and American Indian communities. This is a governor's request that it is fully funded. Line 337 is additional funding for the Minnesota Food Shelf Program, and it is scaled down to, it looks like, the Senate position. On line 343 was a governor's proposal for capital funding for food shelves and tribal nation food program facilities. It was also a House position, and it's coming back at lower than both the governor and the House at $7 million. On the next page is the governor's proposal for SNAP outreach funding. It is coming back at less than the governor requested, and it is ongoing. On line 355 is additional administrative funding for the various food security proposals that we just went through, and this is funded at the level that was in the governor's budget. On line 361 is one-time funding for the governor's support after foster care stay in the community proposal at $3.8 million. There are a number of proposals there that have been dropped, so we're now at the bottom of this page, page 8 on line 387. This is additional children and family staff at the Department of Human Services for adolescent services. It was the governor's request and is coming back fully funded. On line 393 is the governor's proposal for to develop a plan for the use of SSI and RSDI funding, and that proposal is fully funded in the conference committee. On line 398 is the governor's SSIS updates for a new non-caregiver sex trafficking response path, and that proposal is funded in the conference committee. Line 402 is additional funding for the contracted employment and income verification service that the counties used. This proposal was increased during the conference committee to the amount that the counties indicated was needed to fully fund the operations of that program. In the middle of that page on line 406 is the governor's proposal to include in the child care assistance program changes to include eligibility for foster care and relative caregivers, and that proposal is fully funded. On line 414 is the governor's proposal for additional funding for the FAME program, and that's coming back with one-time funding of $3 million in the first biennium. On line 420 is the governor's proposal for eligibility changes for former foster care youth from other states. The money looks a little bit different there, but it just reflects technical adjustments due to revised information that became available during the conference committee. Line 427 is child support enforcement modifications, and that's the governor's proposal, and it's fully funded. On line 435 is the governor's changes to child care assistance program provider registration, and that proposal is fully funded. On line 440 is modifications to background study requirements for legal non-licensed child care providers, and that one is fully funded as well. On line 445 is the centralized provider registration for child care providers, and that is fully funded at the governor's level. Line 449 is another of the governor's technology proposals. This one is integrated services for children and families. It has been scaled down a little bit, and it is now all one-time funding as well. On line 473 is the governor's proposal relating to a network of community resource centers. And that is scaled down from both the governor and the House to $7.1 million. Line 487 is additional staffing for the American Indian Well-Being Unit. This is a scaled down governor's proposal. Line 492 is additional funding for Indian Child Welfare Grants. This one reflects the Senate's position. On line 503 is additional payment of costs for children's residential treatment facilities. This proposal had a bit of savings, and it comes back still with that savings. Line 510 is the adult day treatment services rate increase. That was a governor's proposal, and it's fully funded. On line 516 is the governor's proposal for an online behavioral health program locator, and that proposal has been scaled down to $1.3 million each biennium. On line 521 is additional funding for school-linked behavioral health grants of $14.1 million in the first biennium and $9 million in the second. Line 528 is the governor's proposal relating to the transitions to community grant program. All that's coming back is the eligibility modifications. That's what the hash marks are in there intended to convey. Let's see. On line 549 is expanded access to first episode psychosis teams. That's a governor's proposal that was fully funded. On line 553 is additional operations staff for grants administration, and that is funded at the governor's level. On line 558 is additional funding for mobile crisis grants. This comes back as one-time funding of $18 million in the first biennium. On line 565 is the governor's proposal for to establish funding for tribal mobile crisis response teams, and that is fully funded. On line 569 is additional funding for infant and early childhood mental health consultation. This was a governor's proposal, and it comes back fully funded. On line 575 is modifications to provider requirements for substance use disorder comprehensive assessments. That's the governor's proposal that's fully funded. On line 581 is the governor's proposal relating to a floor for county and tribal behavioral health fund administrative assessments, and that is included. On line 583 is the governor's proposal to develop a recommendation for a new behavioral health fund county and tribal administrative allocations. Line 595 is the governor's request for additional funding for the project for assistance in transitions from homelessness grants. It's coming back from the conference committee at $10 million each biennium. On line 603 is, that one's dropped, sorry. Line 609 is the Adult Mental Health Initiative grant to White Earth Nation of $600,000 in the first biennium. Line 613 is the governor's proposal for additional funding for the Cultural and Ethnic Minority Infrastructure Grant Program, which is coming back at $3 million per year. On line 620 is additional funding for mental health provider supervision grants. This was a governor's proposal, and it was also a Senate proposal. And what is coming back is a combination of the two. The language of the Senate's proposal was incorporated into the governor's, and the amount shown there is the amount that went with the Senate's proposal. On line 626 is the governor's proposal for new psychiatric residential treatment facility startup grants. It's coming back as one-time money in the first biennium of $2.2 million. And on line 640 at the bottom of that page is the governor's proposal for housing stabilization services. It's scaled down, and if you look at the detail on lines below line 641, you can see what is coming back and what has been dropped. It looks like there was an inflation adjustment included in the governor's proposal that has not come back. And now I think it is Mr. Harney's turn.
Madam Chair, picking up on page 15, on line 656, is funding for the Homeless Management Information System that is included in the Conference Committee agreement at the requested funding level. Line 666 is a governor's proposal for the AmeriCorps Heading Home Corps establishment of a state match. This proposal was scaled in the Conference Committee process to be one time. Line 670 is a governor's proposal for the modification to MSA requirement for representative payee special needs payment. This amount is funded at the requested level. On line 674 is a proposal for the modification of housing support countable income. The conference committee agreement fully funds this. Line 682 is the elimination of tribal per capita payments from countable income in determining eligibility for general assistance, supplemental aid, housing support, et cetera. This is included in the conference committee agreement at the fully funded level. Turning to the page 16 at the top on line 693, this proposal establishes presumptive eligibility for housing support for recently incarcerated inmates. This proposal is fully funded at the requested level. On line 698 is a IT project to improve the applicant and enrollee experience for MA and Minnesota Care recipients. This proposal is greatly scaled in the conference committee agreement to $4 million one dime. Line 705 is not included. There will be more to come on this topic later. Line 714 is an actuarial and economic analysis for a Minnesota public option health care plan and the seeking of a Section 1332 waiver at the Department of Human Services. This proposal is in at $2.5 million one time. Line 718 is coupled with that line, and it is... Line 718 is coupled with the actuarial analysis to provide a contingent appropriation out of the Healthcare Access Fund for future implementation of the Minnesota Public Option Healthcare Plan at MNsure and, at DHS. Line 722 is not included, but the two preceding budget items were born out of this proposal. Skipping to page 17, on line 731 are modifications to the MA payment methodology for tribal federally qualified health centers. This proposal is included at the requested level. Line 738 is an IT proposal at the Department of Human Services to improve the MET's functionality. This proposal came back at a higher level than that in either body or governor's requested level in the conference committee agreement. Line 745, this reflects what was previously passed by the legislature this session for the transition to the standard medical assistance and Minnesota Care eligibility functions. At the bottom of page 17 and bleeding over to page 18 is the reinstatement of the comprehensive adult benefit set. What is not included in this is the rebasement of the dental rates. That amount did not come out, but the benefit set stayed in. Now, fully on page 18, line 782 is the elimination of the doula supervision requirement. This amount is carried at the requested level. Line 787 effectively eliminates cost sharing in medical assistance. This is funded at the level that which it came into conference with. Line 794 is the reimbursement. This is the cost for reimbursing providers for newborn screening in outpatient settings. Line 798 represent modifications to the behavioral health licensing requirement. This amount is in at a scaled level in the tails from 6.3 million to 4.8 million. Line 810, and going into page 19, is the drug formulary committee modifications. Based on some technical assistance provided and agreement reached in the conference process, the savings that are realized due to the reinstatement are less than that of the original proposal. Now, fully on page 19, line 816 is a grant to the Indian Health Board of Minneapolis for enrollment assistance and improved access to care and COVID-19 vaccinations. The only thing that changed in this proposal was moving the TAILS money into the upcoming biennium. Line 822 is the payment methodology for duly certified IHS Tribal Nation federally qualified health centers. This amount is carried at the House and Senate position. 828 are the modifications to the Merck financing methodology at the department. This amount is unchanged. Line 844 is new authority in the conference process for DHS to negotiate value-based purchasing arrangements for prescription drugs. This amount is the amount included is the amount requested by the governor and in the original House position. I skipped line 842. This no-cost item represents modifications to the withhold provisions in managed care contracts. That is in. Line 850 is another no-cost item, but is modifications to the hospital rate rebasing requirements to account for decreased utilization due to COVID-19. Turning to page 20, there is a no-cost item on 852 that is not in the conference agreement. 854 is a no-cost item that is in for modifications to the third-party liability requirements. And on 856 is another no-cost item to eliminate authority to assess and recover enrollee overpayments. Line 858 represents a 20% rate increase for reproductive health services in MA and Minnesota Care. Line 867, a no-cost item to implement a rate methodology for long-term acute care hospitals. Line 869, I believe, is the last information technology proposal for MMIS modernization. This amount was scaled in the conference process to $10 million. Line 873 extends the authority to use audio-only telehealth and MA and Minnesota Care until June 30th, 2025. This amount remains unchanged in the agreement. Turning to page 21. Did I skip one? I did. Yes, I did. Jeez. Line 881 is the operating adjustment at the Department of Human Services. This amount remains unchanged. Now on page 21, at the top is a governor's proposal for continuous improvement, compliance, and expansion. This amount reflects the governor and House positions. Line 901 is the provider licensing and reporting hub. This amount was scaled to reflect cost one time in the upcoming biennium of $20 million. Line 915 are additional funding for background studies operations. This amount reflects the amount that which the Senate and governor came into conference. Line 920 is the background studies fee increase that is in the agreement. Line 927 is a grant to establish a tribal nation fraud prevention activities and an Office of Inspector General tribal liaison that is in at the requested level. Line 933 are modifications to the adult residential mental health rule. This was reflects the governor and Senate position in the final agreement. Turning to page 222, line 940, implements a continuous license process for family child care providers. This amount is in the agreement. Line 945 is monies for financial fraud and abuse investigations program integrity enhancements. This is in at the requested level of the governor. Line 953 is public law background studies and modifications. This amount is less and reflects the Senate position. Line 959 are modifications to Chapter 245C background study requirements. The amount included is the amount that all the House, Senate, and Governor came into conference with. Line 968 it provides for an exclusion of census worker income for eligibility determination in public programs. That amount reflects the House and Governor positions. Line 972 is a governor and Senate position that was accepted in conference to establish an easy enrollment optional checkbox for public health insurance eligibility determination. Line 977 is the DHS side of the ledger for MinShare technology modernization. That amount is included at the fully funded level. Page 23, line 985, just reflects the adjustment per the global agreement and modifications in conference to the Healthcare Access Fund appropriation for medical assistance. The same can be said on line 991. Line 997 is funding for activities at DHS related to the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. That amount is unchanged. Line 1002 is the hospice respite and end-of-life care for individuals under 21. I will note that this amount is not carried on the spreadsheet, but rather was adopted in the Human Services Finance Conference Agreement that I believe passed off the floor a few hours ago. Line 1007 is not in, so I'll skip that one. Line 1017 is MFIP housing benefit and cost of living adjustments. That amount is it.
Madam Chair, members, line 1007 is included. It was just combined in the House program way a long time ago.
Thank you.
Yes.
Pages ago.
Turning to 24, due to the interaction with the elimination of MA cost sharing on line 1029, this proposal is now budget neutral, and it is in. Line 1034 is out. The next budget item on the spreadsheet that is in is a grant on line 1050 to the Center for Rural Behavioral Health at Minnesota State University Mankato. The amount that's in reflects the net of the Senate position, just adjusted to the upcoming biennium. Turning to page 25 is on line 1068, our additional funding for community action grants. This amount is scaled to reflect a fiscal impact of $5.4 million in the upcoming biennium. Line 1074 is the exclusion of RSDI income for eligibility determination for economic assistance programs. This amount is in at the House and Senate positions. Line 1096 provides a rate increase for mental health services. This amount reflects a scaled version of the initial Senate position coming into conference. I skipped line 1066. These are modifications to the all payer claims database that were House and Senate files coming into conference that reflect cost absorbed at the Department of Human Services.
Madam Chair, is there Senator a percent Blair. That goes with those rate increases, or is that too complicated just for a clarifying question?
Senator Abler, it is a, are you talking about line?
The one that is at 1096.
Oh, it is a percentage, and it's also a couple other factors, so.
Well, we can come back, but I just thought you might say 10% or 3 years. Okay, thank you.
Moving to page 26, Madam Chair, at line 1119, our House and Senate proposals that are in the agreement for medical assistance coverage for recuperative care services. Line 1126 is a Senate position one time in this agreement for a grant to the African American Child Wellness Institute. Line 1134 is a scaled version of the Senate position in the agreement for modifications to MA coverage requirements for contraceptive supply. Line 1144 is a Senate position in the final agreement that represents what looks like a scaled rate increase for the doula services. Line 1149 is a House and Senate position in the agreement for medical assistance coverage for seizure detection services. Flipping to page 27, line 1163 is a House and Senate proposal for modifications to MFIP eligibility requirements. That amount is in at the House and Senate position coming into conference. Line 1170 reflects a homeless youth cash stipend pilot project. This proposal has been modified and scaled to $5.4 million in the agreement. Line 1176 is the Early Childhood Registered Apprenticeship Grant Program. This is a Senate position that was scaled in the conference process to $3.1 million and $2 million in the tails. Line 1180 is a House and Senate position for a grant to Quality Parenting Initiative. Line 1188 was both initially a House and Senate position that was modified in conference for family, friend, and neighborhood child care grant programs. Turning to page 28 is a modified proposal on line 1200 for a grant, a modified Senate proposal in the agreement on line 1200 for a grant to Ramsey County for heading home continuum of care. On line 1206 is funding for Catholic Charities Homeless Elders Program. That amount reflects the Senate initial position. Line 1218 is a Senate proposal that was scaled in the agreement to be one time at $3.5 million for prepared meals, food relief programs. Line 1224 reflects the, it is both a House and Senate proposal, but the money reflected is the Senate position for the diaper distribution grant program. Line 1230 was modified in conference to reflect a grant to Hennepin County to provide services for people experiencing homelessness, and the amount was scaled to be one time in fiscal years 24 and 25. Line 1236, child care and early education professional wage scale and comparable competencies, a Senate position that looks up to be increased in the agreement.
Madam Chair and members, on that line, what was done is that if you go to the next page, the proposal on line 1246 was incorporated into the proposal on line 1236.
Madam Chair, on line 1241 is a cost a proposal for cost estimation model for early care and learning programs. This amount was included at the Senate position. Skipping 1246 to 1251 is additional funding for retained grants. The amount included was scaled in conference and represents net over the upcoming by forecast window. Approximately $6 million of funding. Line 1263 is a no-cost item for the elimination of Minnesota Care cost sharing for drugs for HIV prevention and treatment. Line 1265 is a House and Senate position to provide MA reimbursement for long-acting reversible contraceptives in an inpatient setting. Line 1278 was modified in conference, the net effect of which provides an additional approximately $4.5 million in savings for the reinstatement of the CCBHC demonstration. Page 30, line 1266, reflects the cost in previous session law in the 23 session in Chapter 11 for the emergency food shelf appropriation. Line 1302, some of these items were skipped on this line, but the line that is funded represents an agreement in the conference report to provide studies of the managed care elimination, the managed care opt-out, and the pharmacy benefit carve-out that were previously House positions. Line 1308 is a Senate-only position in the agreement for background studies modifications. Line 1314 is the Adoptee Birth Records Public Awareness Campaign. I skipped over the previous similar proposal, but on line 1320 represents the House position accepted in conference establishing Minnesota Care eligibility for all undocumented Minnesotans. Skipping to page 31, on line 1339 represents in the conference agreement a House position to provide MA coverage of tobacco and nicotine cessation products. Line 1348 is a new item that came up in the conference process that effectively provides cancellation carry forward for behavioral health grants at the Department of Human Services. Line 1358 is a scaled version of the House proposal for a across-the-board supplemental rate increase for housing support. The rate increase here, I do know, it's 2.5% and includes a rate study at the department. Line 1367 is one-time funding from the House position in the agreement for $100 million in emergency shelter grants with carry forward authority. Line 1379 is a House position for MFIP eligibility for primary caregiver with mental health diagnosis. That amount in the agreement is carried at the original House position. Line 1388, although the language for keeping nurses is currently in conference, the House, the conference agreement is holding the cost for keeping nurses at the bedside act at the Department of Human Services and MDH. The costs here represent the cost for direct care and treatment, mental health and substance abuse treatment services. And the last few I will go through is the information technology systems improvements for children and families is included. And on line 1396 are additional funding for New American Legal Social Services and Long-Term Care Workforce Grant Program. Madam Chair, I will turn it over to Mr. Berg to continue.
And Madam Chair and members, I'll just note on the last item that Mr. Harney read on the New Americans, the Human Services Bill also contains significant funding for the same initiative. Moving on to the Health Department at line 1405 is the 988 Suicide Crisis Lifeline. That is funded at the governor's requested level, and I would note includes the dedicated fee. Moving on to page 33 is in line 1414, or I'm sorry, we'll skip down to line 1423 is the item for advancing equity through capacity building and resource allocations. That is at the higher than the governor's level, and is really a combination. And it is the House's level in the first biennium, and a scaled down version of the Senate's and the tails. On line 1439 is the assisted living licensure and home care item, which is in at the governor's requested level. Both House and Senate carried that as well. At line 1444 is additional funding for background studies. That is also in at the governor's requested level in both houses. Line 1448 is the elimination of the chronic condition spending report. That is the same across all positions as well. The line 1452 is grants to promote local planning for climate resiliency. That is a significantly scaled down from the governor's request. On line 34 in page 34 rather, on line 1457 is the grant for Minnesota Community Health Worker Alliance. That is in at the governor's requested level as well, and the Senate also carried that position. Going to line 1466 is the Community Solutions Grant Program. This is in at a scaled-down version from any of the previous positions. Line 1471 is the Comprehensive Drug Overdose and Morbidity Prevention Act. This is also in at a scaled-down version from the governor's request. Line 1483 is the Department of Health Cultural Communications Program, which is in at a somewhat reduced level from the governor and the Senate. On line 1487 is the MDH policy to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is in at the governor's requested level and the same as both House and Senate. On line 1491 is a no-cost item related to reinstatement of the Drinking Water and Wastewater Advisory Council. Line 1493 is Emergency Preparedness Response, Sustainability, Strategic Healthcare Stockpile, and COVID-19 Transaction Activities. That is in at the House's level, which is less than the Senate or the governor. On page 35, line 1498, we have the expanded reporting requirements for prescription drugs. This is in at the governor's requested level in both houses. Line 1502 is for an item for sexual and reproductive health services grants. This is in at the governor's requested level.
Madam Chair, I'll just note for this one that the conference report, this used to be family planning grants. The conference report renames the program to sexual and reproductive health services grants.
That's correct. Madam Chair and members, moving on to line 1507
is the Department of Health federal funds oversight item. This is in at the governor's requested level, and again, both houses carried this. Line 1511 is the Health Equity Advisory Council, which is also in at the governor's level, and both houses carried this same item. Line 1515 is Healthy Beginnings, Healthy Families Grant Program. This is in at a somewhat different, it's a little lower than the governor's request in the first biennium and quite a bit lower in the tails. On line 1520 is funding to continue operation of the Help Me Connect program. This is in at the governor's requested level. Line 1524 is the additional funding for home visiting. It is a significantly scaled down from the governor or Senate positions. On line 1538 is grants for lead remediation in schools and child care centers. This is in at the governor's level and was carried by both houses. On page 36, line 1548 is the health department's, the governor's request for maintaining current service levels, which was carried at the governor's request. Line 1559 is the Minnesota One Health Antibiotic Stewardship Collaborative. That is in at the governor's level and again was carried by both houses. Line 1563 is state enforcement of the Federal No Surprises Act and Provider Directory Feasibility Study. This is also in at the governor's level, and both houses carried this item. Line 1567 is establishing the Health Department Office of African American Health. That is in at the governor's requested level and was carried by both houses. There's a parallel item on line 1572, which establishes the Office of American Indian Health. That is also carried at the governor's requested level and was carried at that way. Well, it was slightly lower in the Senate. Line 1577 is the public health system transformation item. This is scaled down from the governor's request that the levels the Senate carried it at. Line 1582 is a repeal of the Women's Right to Know and Positive Alternative programs. This has savings that are the same as the governor's budget and were carried by the House. On page 37, beginning on line 1587 is the item for grants to expand the healthcare workforce. This is carried at a somewhat scaled down version from the governor's request and is between the House and Senate levels. On line 1605 is grants to establish school-based health clinics. This is in at the governor's requested level and was carried by both houses. On line 1620 is the grants to support long COVID survivors and monitoring the impact of long COVID. That is also in at the governor's level and the Senate carried it the same way. On page 38 and line 1630, is the telehealth study appropriation cancellation and carry forward a technical item that the governor recommended and both houses had. On line 1634 is the trauma system fee increase and revenue adjustment. Again, this is a governor's request that was carried by both houses and is in the conference report at the same level. Line 1642 is a no-cost item related to vital record surcharge remittance and reporting. On line 1644 is the Equitable Healthcare Task Force. This is in at the governor's level and is a one-time cost. Line 1653 is the HIV Prevention Health Equity
programming. This is in at the governor's requested level and was carried by both houses. And line 1658 is a no-cost item for the ITA project lapsed appropriation carry forward. Line 1660 is the uninsured, underinsured adult vaccine program. This is a governor's request, and it is funded only in the first biennium. Line 1664 is the Clinical Dental Education Innovation Grants. This is carried at the governor's recommended level and was carried by both houses. On line 1669 is the transition of MERC to special revenue and a new general fund appropriation. This item is, again, a governor's request that was carried by both houses and is in at the same level. Moving on to page 39, down to line 1688 is a modification to the definition of elevated blood lead levels. This was an item carried by both the House and Senate and is in at that same level. Moving down to line 1696 is a Wilder Foundation grant for African American babies, the African American Babies Coalition. This is in at the Senate's level, it's in at the Senate's level. And line 1701 is the Health Professional Loan Forgiveness Program. It is in one time at a reduced level from the Senate's original position. Line 1706 is funding for an additional psychiatry practitioner eligibility and primary care residency expansion grant. That is in at the Senate's recommended level. And on line 1711 is the Pediatric Primary Care Mental Health Training Grant Program. That is also a Senate item that's carried at the Senate's original level. On page 40, going to line 1716 is the Mental Health Cultural Community Continuing Education Grant Program. This was also a Senate item that is in at the Senate, the same level as the Senate carried it. On line 1721 is grants for services provided to victims of labor trafficking or exploitation. This is in at the same level as the Senate carried it. The House had this as a one-time item. It's now ongoing. On line 1730 is a grant to the Minnesota Alliance for Volunteer Advancement. That is very slightly different from the Senate position originally. Line 1736 is the Palliative Care Council appropriation. This is in at the same level as both the House and Senate carried it. Line 1740 is a Universal Healthcare System Cost-Benefit and Cost Analysis. Benefit and Cost Analysis. And that is in at the Senate's recommended level, which is somewhat different from the House. Line 1744 are modifications to the All-Payer Claims Database. This is in at the same level as was carried by both the House and Senate. Line 1748 is an item to establish an MDH Division of Healthcare Affordability. This is in at a slightly different level than either the House or Senate, between the two positions on the funding levels and ongoing. On line 1753 is a study for the registry for provider order for life sustaining treatment or PULSE forms. This is in at the Senate's funding level. On page 41, going to line 1797, is the Alzheimer's Disease Public Information Program. This is in at the Senate's recommended level, but is now ongoing funding. Line 1762
is the grant to, for a FQHC, the Federally Qualified Healthcare Center Apprenticeship Program. This is in at the Senate's level, or was a Senate item and is carried at the Senate's level. On line 1767 is a grant to the Emmett Lewis Till Victims Recovery Program. That is in at the same level as both the House and Senate carried it. On line 1773 is an item for skin lightening products, public awareness, and education grant. This is the same as the House funding, slightly different from the Senate's funding. Line 1778 is additional funding for fetal alcohol spectrum disorder prevention grants. This is in at the House's funding level, which was just a little different from the Senate's. On line 1783 is the item related to the moratorium on green burials and the study of green burials and natural organic reduction. It is in at a slightly higher level than the Senate carried at it originally. Line 1787 is the workplace safety grants for health care entities. This is in at the Senate's funding level. Line 1793 is an item for additional funding for Safe Harbor for sexually exploited youth grants. This is in at the Senate's funding level. Then we'll come on page 42 on line 1797 to an item for additional funding for Safe Harbor Regional Navigators. This is carried at the Senate's funding level. I should note language on this specifies that this is focused on Northwest Minnesota. On line 1801 is a grant for to the Special Guerrilla Units, Veterans, and Families of the USA. This was a Senate item and is carried at the Senate's level. Line 1805 is the modifications to the network adequacy requirements. This is in at the same funding level that the House and Senate carried it at. Line 1809 is the Senate's item for the closed-loop heat exchanger definition and modifications to the water supply well definition, regulatory requirements and fees. Again, that's a Senate item at that Senate level. 1814 is the more funding for the Keeping Nurses at the Bedside Act. As Mr. Harney mentioned, that is traveling as a separate bill. The language is, but the funding is in this bill. On line 1820 is the Critical Access Dental Infrastructure Program. This is in at a substantially reduced level from the House's original position. Line 1825 is the Charitable Assets Public Interest Review. This is in at a different amount than the House's position. It was not carried in the Senate or the governor's budget. Line 1829 is the Task Force on Pregnancy Health and Substance Use Disorder. This was a House item and is carried at the House's amount. On line 1833 is an appropriation to the Public Health Response Contingency Account. It's $2.5 million one time. On line 1837 is the Psychedelic Medicine Task Force. That was a House position and is funded at the House's level. On line page 43, rather, line 1841 is a study of the 340B drug program. This was a new item in conference and was not carried in either position. And line 1845 is the access to original birth records for adoptees item. This was also not in either position, but is here. There is another item related to that in the Human Services bill at the Department of Health, or Department of Human Services, rather.
Yep.
On line 1852 is a no-cost item, establishing a tobacco use prevention account. And Madam Chair and members, in the interest of time, we're coming to the health-related boards. I will really handle these by exception. The conference report funds the governor's recommendations in all cases except on line 1873 at the Board of Dietetics and Nutrition Practice. There was a fee increase that is not included in this report, which was on line 1876. On page 44, the Board of Occupational Therapy Practice on line 1901 has a slightly higher funding level in the first biennium than the governor recommended, but no change in the position. And at the Board of Pharmacy on line 1909, it is the governor's position plus a general fund item on line 1917, which funds a grant to for modifications to the drug repository program. And other than that, all the health licensing board items are identical to the governor's budget. Moving to page 45, we have the other agencies. Beginning at line 1950 is the Emergency Medical Services Regulatory Board. This has funding at the House's level in the first biennium and the Senate's level in the tails. On line 1961 is the Ombudsperson for Families. This was funded at the governor's recommended level in all positions. On line 1965 is the Ombudsperson for American Indian Families. This was also funded in the conference report and in both houses at the governor's recommended level. On line 1971 is the Ombudsperson for Foster Youth. This is the governor's recommended level, except the House. There was an appropriation for this in the current biennium. The ombudsperson has not yet been appointed, and so that money did not carry forward. 100,000 of that is canceled from 23 and then reappropriated in 24 for startup costs for that agency. On line 1975 is the Rare Disease Advisory Council. This carries the money for maintaining current service levels and establishing a budget base, but does not include the item in the governor's rec for increasing program capacity. And on line 1981 is an appropriation for MNsure. That is at the governor's level in the first biennium and significantly reduced in the tails. There is, I will note, on line 1988, a no-cost change to the navigator payment amount to $100. And on the final page, line 1995 is an item at the Department of Revenue that was a governor's recommendation. On line 1999 is the Department of Management and Budget. There are a couple of items here. The governor's recommendation for the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, the governor's healthcare sub-cabinet item, an evaluation and outcomes consultation, evaluation and outcomes consultation for DHS and MDH, and an item on the impact evaluation of the Keeping Nurses at the Bedside Act. Again, the money is here, but that language is in a different conference. Line 2006 is the money for the new Department of Children, Youth, and Families that is at the governor's recommended level and was carried by both houses. At line 2010 is the Department of Commerce. This includes the healthcare for the defrayal. Yeah, it's the defrayal. All right. Moving on to the last item on the sheet is the on line 2024 is the Department of Labor and Industry. This is also related to the Keeping Nurses at the Bedside Act, which is in another conference. And Madam Chair, that's the end of the sheet. We're ready for any questions, or we're probably not ready for any.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I'll just take a moment to thank Mr. Albrecht, Mr. Harney, Mr. Berg. And also want to thank all the other staff that has been working so hard on this bill. It's just been an incredible amount of work, as you can imagine from the length of the spreadsheet. My thanks go out to all the staff who has been involved in this. Members, are there any questions? Mr. Albrecht.
I'm pretty sure the thing at the dietetics and nutrition practice is a mistake. We're not sure if it's on the spreadsheet or in the bill, but the intention was to do what the House did.
Thank you. Actually, I made a note about that, so I was curious about that. So thank you. And members, are there any questions that you have? I will say just, Senator Abler, I do have the description of the rate increase for mental health. It's fairly complex, but I would say it's a 3% increase. There is an inflation factor starting on January 1st of 2025, and then there's some other details that go into it that I won't enumerate. And there's also, you know, description of what is actually included in that in the rate increase. So
that's a helpful start. So
yeah. So wanted to give you that to start with, and then
details.
We'll.
Thank you. Yep. I'm sure many people are curious, so now they can rest easily knowing that answer. Thank you.
Yep. Did you have another question? Or were
I
you
do.
Gonna
okay. I have many, but I'll settle for just a couple. Can I just, I wasn't part of many discussions along the way, so when hospital rebasing fell off, it seems like that's something that we really should do. Is there some particular reason that didn't happen?
Senator Abler, it was something we considered, and it was a strong, something in the Senate that we carried into the conference, and after discussions at just different priorities and budget constraints just came forward. I don't know if you have any other description, but it was just a matter of trying to balance all of the things that we were trying to include in the bill. So,
well, let me just push back a little bit on you. I mean, of all the things in the bill that would be considered legacy, that would be the legacy thing. And I'm certainly, I don't need to tell anybody the challenges they're under and in the Medicaid rate system anyway, how to try to help them do that. I would actually suggest you please reconsider that. There's many choices you made in the bill, $3.5 billion worth, and I just think that's something that to keep them squared away would be something that would be please reconsider.
Thanks for the input. Any other questions, House or Senate members? Chair Liebling, did you have any comments?
No, well, I thank you, Madam Chair, and I just would echo your thanks to the staff. Obviously, this is just the spreadsheet. Of course, the bill itself is quite lengthy and has taken many, many hours, and that is at the revisor, and I'm not sure when exactly we will be getting it, but of course we will post that when we do. I just would also just express my thanks to all of the members who have worked on the bill in various capacities. I mean, this is, I think the bill in the House and certainly in the Senate too, I'm sure, is the work of many members. And also, not to mention, of course, very importantly, the work of many, many agency staff. So they have also been excellent partners in all of this work. And Madam Chair, I don't know if the fiscal staff feel that they need to make any further adjustments to the spreadsheet or if we are ready to adopt it.
A question for Mr. Albrecht or Mr. Harney?
Madam Chair, I'm pretty sure with the only exception being the fee I just mentioned in the Senate's position, that may be a technical sort of correction that somebody might notice the next time it comes around. I'm just not sure if the fee is in there.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Abler.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of numbers to digest, and I don't know what other companies were involved in some of the details there, but adopting the spreadsheet commits you to some stuff, and I think that there may be some questions that companies even on your side of the aisle might want to learn about a little bit before they adopt this sheet, and it's going to take a minute to do that. So, but perhaps when people have a chance to review the draft, they could then understand it better, and they may even have a suggestion that might benefit the good of the order. So if you just maybe not adopt it tonight.
Chair Liebling.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And so I was thinking of making a motion to adopt this tonight, but I think it will be better to hold off. And we can do that when we have the conference report, and then staff can have a little additional time to make adjustments. I do want to note, though, Senator Abler, with regard to your comment, we cannot make changes to this spreadsheet and still have a bill by the end of this legislative session. So we are not contemplating, this is not open for negotiation any further. We have a signed spreadsheet. The two chairs have an agreement, so by not adopting it tonight, we are, you know, certainly if folks have note mistakes, that would be one thing, but we are not renegotiating the bill. So just want to make that very clear. There is just isn't any time left to do such a thing.
Correct. Senator Abler?
Well, thank you, and I didn't come to debate. There's been a lot of work done by you all, and I appreciate that, and all the people here are interested to kind of digest what that is. Just heard from staff, there is a duplicated item on your spreadsheet that passed in the Human Services bill today. So you can sort that out.
Madam Chair, and Senator Abler, that is not a duplicate item. It is an additional amount in addition to what was passed in the other bill.
Yes. All right. Well, never mind.
Mr. Chair, Chair Pinto, did you have
I didn't make a comment about that. Oh.
I'll just
thank you, Madam Chair, and staff as well. So for those watching, this is just to remind you, we've got it's a maybe unusual situation where we've got these two bills coming out of the House merged with two separate sets of budget targets, I suppose. And so appreciate the chance to work with you, Chair Wicklund, and I echo the thanks to the staff. They've been working incredibly hard, and look forward to continuing to discuss this. And wrap things up. So, but thank you so much, Chair, and thanks to our staff as well.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, just logistics. Do you think we'll be here on Sunday working on this? Is that what you expect, given the time to?
Senator Abler, it all depends on when we get materials back from the reviser, so we'll have to see, and you'll have to watch your email for notices, because we don't know how long it is going to take to get the material or get the bill back from the revisor.
So it may be tomorrow.
We just don't know. So I don't have a time to give you, because I don't know. So seeing no other questions.
Well, Madam Chair, how much time would you give people then, since we don't even know what day it might be?
I don't know.
Like 3 hours or something, just so that people can come in from their picnic.
Senator Abler, we'll try to give you as much notice as we can. It's just difficult to know, given everything that has to be processed at the advisors.
Right.
And so, yeah. So we'll try to give as much advance notice as we can. Okay.
Thank you.
But seeing no other questions or comments, this meeting is adjourned.